Here's Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth.
Many times my own personal giving, that requires stepping out in faith. We don't want to just do what feels comfortable, what we think is explainable. We want to step out in faith and honor the Lord in our giving.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of Surrender, The Heart God Controls, for Friday, May 19, 2017.
All right, well, as I said, a frontier is that area just beyond the edge of settled territory. Now, one of my favorite things to study is space. I love the space program.
Well, if you had a chance to listen to the broadcast earlier this week, you'll recognize that that's part of the introduction to a message that we've been airing all this week from Dan Jarvis, who serves on the staff of our parent ministry, Life Action Ministries. He's a pastor of a local church here in Southwest Michigan. And I had the chance to hear that message several months ago. And as I listened, I thought, I want to share this with our listeners because I thought it was so practical. It was challenging. It was encouraging about something that has to be a part of all of our lives. And that's a walk of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And over the last several days, we've been listening to excerpts from that message, along with a conversation I was able to have here in the studio with Dan and Melissa Jarvis. And I so enjoyed hearing them flesh out this message out of their own personal testimony. But as I listened to the message and to Dan and Melissa, I thought, Revive Our Hearts has an amazing history as well of God's faithfulness and us learning to walk by faith. So I asked the executive director of Revive Our Hearts, Martin Jones, if he would join me in the studio today and we could just have a conversation about what these different aspects of faith have looked like in the history of Revive Our Hearts, both going back many years and then over the years and even what it looks like for us today. So Martin, our listeners don't get to hear you very often, and I wish they could more often because your heart is so full of this message that of calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. And you and your wife, Helen, have been a part of this ministry since the inception. So thank you for that, and thank you for joining us here in the studio today to talk about a walk of faith.
Glad to be here with you today, Nancy. And it's easy to talk about a walk of faith when I think back over the history of Revive Our Hearts. So I'm looking forward for the chance for us to do that today.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we've got a lot of track record with God, and we've, as a team, walked together through a lot of these challenging moments that forced us to see aspects of God's heart and His ways that we would have never experienced before. In fact, just as we were coming into the studio, you were talking about what I know is one of your favorite passages of Scripture, Psalm 113. And just for a moment here, share with our listeners what you were sharing with me about the character of God and why that's so important in this journey of faith.
I just enjoy Psalm 113, and it ministers to me many times a week in an average week. And it's that center point of that psalm in verse 5 where it says, who is like the Lord our God? And you could unpack that in 100 ways, but it is that He is the Lord Almighty, enthroned in the heavens, that's the phrase before, but who stoops to look down on the earth. And so just how much of God is wrapped up even in that verse when we think of God and His faithfulness to us, that He's so high and exalted, and yet He stoops to behold us here on the earth.
And He has compassion on us.
Right.
He's tender toward us.
Yes.
He knows our needs.
Mm-hmm.
But when we cry out to Him, we realize we're crying out to God who's not just like us.
That's right.
But He is infinitely higher and more powerful than
right.
we could ever be.
And as we've come through the Easter season, not that long ago too, of just taking that to the next step, that He would stoop to behold the earth, but then stoop all the way to the cross to accomplish our rescue. And I don't ever want to get over the wonder of that.
And that's what keeps us going day after day in this ministry, is not the ministry machine or the organization
right.
or the projects or the outreaches, but what God is doing in His redemptive work here on the earth.
And the opportunity to see that in so many ways, as I know we'll talk about some of those, but just to see the illustrations of that redemptive work all over the world that He is doing.
And I think our listeners would be so encouraged to hear a bit about that. So that's what we'll talk about today. But let me back up to Dan's message that we've been listening to over the past several days. And he talked about five R's that are challenges related to a walk of faith. And the first one was this whole area of risk. Here's an excerpt of what Dan said in that part of this message.
And so living by faith requires that we look beyond our resources to what God has that he can use. Forging into faith frontiers are never easy. It's never quick. It's never cheap. I haven't done the math on this, but I'm sure if we added up the amount of money that America spent to go to the moon, it was probably quite a large sum, right? Or the amount of money that those pioneers, you know, sold everything to buy a covered wagon and they headed out. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not cheap. It's going to cost you on a human level a lot to live by faith.
And Martin, when I heard Dan talk about this whole area of risk, my mind just went back to the early days of Revive Our Hearts. Before there was a radio program, there was a real element of risk involved for all of us for this whole ministry. As you think back to those early days around 2000, 2001, how do you see us being called to take a risk, humanly speaking, to step out in faith?
Well, one of the first things that comes to my mind was the risk that you were being asked to take, because you were coming on the heels of Elizabeth Elliot in at least some form as a successor ministry that we were thinking we would be to Gateway to Joy. And so you were being called to take a risk.
And so those were big shoes.
Those were big shoes.
And I said, there's no way I can fill those shoes.
And in God's providence, you weren't being asked to fill those shoes. You were being asked to do what God was calling you to do. Mm-hmm. But maybe just talk about that just a minute, and then I'll mention what the risk was that I saw from us.
Well, for me, when we started talking about doing daily radio, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, that's 260 days a year.
Every year.
I had like 13 messages or something at that time. I was involved in itinerant ministry, and I'm thinking, there's no way mm-hmm. I could come up with that kind of content. And then how do we even know if anybody would want to hear this or if it would be meaningful to them? So it was a huge ministry change, life change, priority change. I knew that everything in my life was going to change. And this was all uncharted territory. So we were being asked to step out into something that I couldn't see what the outcome would be.
So there was significant risk that you had to embrace. And there was a surrender process in that too, wasn't there?
Absolutely,
to what God was calling you to do. Mm-hmm. The other illustration that stands out to me about those early years was it was a risk in the way that we were going about this, because we really believed God was calling three ministries at that point to come together and partner. And you would remember, I think it's a vivid memory for all of us who were involved, of how sweet those times were almost from the very beginning when we first met, as three separate ministries coming and putting what they had on the table and not owning turf.
Yeah.
But there was risk in that because we didn't know how to do that. We didn't know if that had been done before. We didn't know about the risk involved of 300 stations who were carrying Gateway to Joy and if they would make that transition with us or not. So there were just a lot of elements.
And
of
where
risk.
The funding would come from to pay for that network
we
of
stations.
We
didn't have any funding, did we?
So God provided the stations.
Right.
It was amazing, but we didn't have a budget. We didn't have the funds. And we're stepping out and we're saying, where's this all going to come from? So there was risk involved there.
There was, but such a sweet sense of confidence inside of that, that this was God orchestrated, that he was doing this. And I think that gave the confidence to step out and take the risk.
And speaking of resources, that leads to the second point of Dan's mm-hmm. message. Here's a clip from Dan Jarvis talking about trusting God for resources if you want to have a walk of faith.
If God is directing you to do something, he's not worried about your lack of resources, because he has resources that you don't have. So when you live by faith, you're not actually saying, how much faith do I have with my time, my talent, and my treasure? You're saying, what does God have available to him? That on that basis, I'm moving forward, not on the basis of what I can muster up as a human being. And so living by faith requires that we look beyond our resources to what God has that he can use.
And day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year now, through 16 years of this ministry's mm-hmm. history, we have been pressed to look beyond our resources and to trust that God had resources that were bigger and more than what we had, and that what he provided would be sufficient. And we've seen him do that again and again and again.
Yeah, over and over. And I've heard you say so many times to our team that anything that makes us need God is a good thing. And so it is a good thing to be in that place where we're reminded our daily bread comes from him, and he will give us what we need to expand into the areas he's calling us to.
I remember one of the things that Dan said in that message is that God is not worried. He has resources we don't have. And we've seen God many times. And Martin, you're the one who manages the books, the accounting, the business and finance aspect of all this, which you do so well. But there have been times we come to close to the end of the month and we cannot see how that need is going to be met, or close to the end of our fiscal year as we are here in the month of May. And we said, we don't know where this is coming from. But then God steps in and moves. Does an illustration come to mind of how we've seen God do the surprising and the unexpected when it comes to providing resources?
Yeah, there's so many, but let me see if I can pull a couple up to the front of mind. The ones that probably touch me more than anything is when there is a gift of a small amount from a little child, little boy or little girl, that wants to make a difference and invest in lives, and they send that. And that gives such a huge sense of responsibility to be a good steward of that gift and any gift that is given.
And sometimes something that represents great sacrifice.
Exactly.
From a widow or somebody living on a limited income. We've seen a lot of that too.
And another illustration recently was some gold coins that arrived in a butter dish. And so it's just with no name. We don't know who it came from, but we've gone back to that many times amongst ourselves and just saying, if God can send gold coins in a butter dish, he can provide for this need or that need or some other need.
And it's not just financial resources.
Right.
We've seen God provide people, staff. That's our greatest resource. And when we had a need structurally, organizationally, or for someone to provide leadership for a certain part of the ministry, we've seen God draw people here and say, I want to be a part of what God is doing.
Yeah. How many times have we said it's been a number? We didn't really know why God was bringing that person here when he did. But now 6 months or a year, 2 years later, oh, that was why we needed that person. Or that was why that need was there. One particular comes to mind on that. Do you remember Dawn? This has been a number of years ago. And we were praying about a need that we had, and God was putting her on both of our minds. And out of the blue, she called and said, you probably thought you'd never hear this call from me, but I think God may be calling me to Revive Our Hearts. And we basically said, yeah, we've been waiting for you to call because we've been praying for you to come.
So God had resources for that need in the ministry at that time.
He had people that he had in mind.
Yeah. And we've seen him do that over and over again. And when you get this kind of track record with God, it encourages you and gives you faith to believe that today and tomorrow, he can meet our needs as well, whether it's people or funding or whatever the need is.
It's like the old hymn says, you know, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, and when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That's just another example or another lens to look at that faithfulness of God that we're talking about.
Well, Dan Jarvis also challenged us in this message about relocation, that sometimes stepping out in faith means you got to get up from where you are and move to a different place. Here's a clip of what he said about that.
Sometimes you do take a risk and you do have to move forward if you're really going to cross a frontier. But you can't be content with where you are. You have to get moving.
And speaking of relocation, Martin, I know that early in this ministry's history, you had been involved with us as a part of one of our other partner ministries.
Right.
But there came a point early on when you and Helen sensed the Lord was leading you to come to Michigan, move your family, and relocate geographically, literally, physically. Mm-hmm. That was a huge step of faith for you guys.
That was a big step of faith for us. It's a marker I look back on and I'm really grateful for. Doesn't mean it was easy to go through at the time, but we'd been planted in one place and in one ministry really all of our lives, family, extended family around, and God was calling us to pull up out of that. And the struggle for me was, would I really surrender? And what I came to realize was the struggle was not over being willing to come here. It was of being willing to say and honestly say, God, I'll go anywhere. And when he brought my wife and I through that point, then we were able to get clarity on the decision to come here and are so grateful that he did move us here, because so often we look back and we see what God has done and then there's clarity where there was fog before. So obedience, clarity comes out of that, and that's been an anchor point for us and for our children as well, who struggled through some of those hard times with us.
And who are now walking with God in a way that that's part of their story, part of their history is the struggle they had to go through. And we've seen God do this for other staff. I'm looking through the glass here in the studio and seeing into the engineer's room and a couple of our staff over on the other side of the glass there who picked up roots, moved their family. They relocated to be a part of what God is doing in this ministry. And that's been a step of faith for them. But the ministry has had some kind of relocation sort of markers. I'm thinking about how we just always assumed this would be a ministry to women in the English-speaking world, in first of all, in the United States of America, because when we started, internet was just really beginning. It hadn't taken off in the way that it has now. And so we just assumed this was a ministry to women in this country. But then God began raising up women who'd been impacted through this ministry. I think the first time this really started to come to our attention was those Dominican women, 100 strong of them, who came to the first True Woman conference. And they began pounding on our door and saying, you guys need to step out into some new frontiers and be willing to move from your comfort zone, from where you are, into some new territory. And that was a step of faith for them and for us.
Yeah, they were saying, you need to step out into new frontiers. And by the way, we can tell you where that next frontier is. And we kind of drug our feet a little, didn't we? Because we really wanted to know if God was in this. And it became clear that He was. And now, again, we're able to look back on just the last few years and be in amazement at what God has done, doing a lot of the same things that we've already talked about, of bringing people. I mean, when I think of God bringing people together around a mission, that group of women in the Dominican Republic stand out to me as an illustration of that.
In fact, here's Laura Gonzalez, who heads up our Spanish language ministry, Aviva Nuestros Corazones, talking about how God first moved in their hearts to believe Him for this ministry to expand into the Spanish-speaking world.
This was not for United States. This was something God wanted for the whole world, at least for Latin America. So I just saw this movement taking shape and gaining momentum, and I just said, God, I feel that You want me to be a part of this, but I have no idea what this means. I know that I'm going to get to my church and start talking about this and teaching other women. That's what I'm going to do. But I felt this is bigger than us, and I think it's something God is going to do.
And now we're talking about not just the Spanish-speaking world, but in more recent years, about women around the world. And you're getting those requests, Martin, from people who are saying, don't keep this in the United States. Don't keep it in just English and Spanish. But women who are saying, we need this in other languages, other parts of the world.
And that's one of the most exciting things, I think, for all of us on the staff, because we're not out trying to manufacture these opportunities. We're responding to what we see God doing. And those hands are going up in different places all around the world saying, we don't have this message for the women in our culture. Or in certain cultures, the women don't even have the ability to access anything like this. Or we don't have it packaged in these ways like you're able to give it to us. How can we get this? And that's the story of Laura and the others in 08 coming out of the conference and forming the Latin ministry. And now it's being created again in so many other parts of the world. We're working with women in the Farsi language, women in Portuguese and Brazil.
Farsi, for those who aren't familiar.
Iran, the Persian world.
The Persian world.
Right.
Very exciting.
Arabic, so many other places. And those are just opportunities that we need wisdom to know where God is saying, I'm working here, join me. And so I would encourage any of you who are listening to pray with us about that, because there's more of those than we can handle, and we're trusting God to help us and provide the means to pursue the things He's giving us to do.
And as you step out in faith, take risks, trust God for the resources, be willing to relocate. Dan Jarvis reminded us in the message we've been listening to this week that you also need resolve, holding tightly to faith, even when you come to those impasses or those points where you feel really discouraged. Have we had any of those points along the last 16 or 17 years, Martin?
Any points of discouragement? let me bring one up that comes to mind that I think is a great example of that. It wasn't discouragement, but it definitely required resolve. And I know you'll remember as soon as I start to talk about it, when we were going to launch out and do the first True Women Conference. And we'd never done anything like that on that scale before. And we were a small little ministry. We still are. But we were even smaller then. And it basically was risking half of our budget, our annual budget, to do what we believed God was calling us to do.
So put some numbers to that so
people
can get a sense.
Our budget at that time was about $2 million a year, and this was going to be approximately a $1 million effort to pull this off with the streaming and all the elements involved in that. And that was a big step of, it was a risk, it was a step of faith, but it required resolve. And do you remember sitting in my office when we were signing the contracts and this was going to be a done deal? I offered to let you sign them, but you asked me if I would.
I was quivering.
Yeah, it didn't matter which one of us did.
Like,
either
I thought
one
buying
was
a
fine.
New car for the first time was hard.
Yeah, this was a
way
lot
bigger than
that. So that was definitely something that required resolve. But again, it was made out of careful prayer and deliberation and believing that God was moving in that way. And when He's doing that, even if we don't see how it's going to happen, and isn't that usually the case? We can't see how He's going to do this thing. We could move with confidence that He was leading us and trusted Him, and we've seen so many good things come out of that. The Latin American ministry that you mentioned, it came out of that event when those women came, not knowing us, not having any contact with us, but that's where that was birthed. And so we can look back and see so much fruit out of holding that resolve to do what we believe God was telling us, even when we didn't see how it was going to happen.
Now, there's another moment where resolve was required and where there was a lot of discouragement on my part. You were maybe more steady in this time than I was. But fast forward a few years from that first True Woman Conference, and we came to the 2011, the end of that fiscal year, right about this time of year.
That's right.
And you were crunching the numbers, and we had done three True Woman conferences in that cycle. A lot of things were happening. But I remember it was a Friday afternoon. I'm standing in your office, and you're giving me the news that we're going to have to cut some significant radio stations. And I was, I don't know, traumatized, what the word is. I remember it was Friday afternoon, though, and I said, don't do this again to me on a Friday afternoon, because I went home and cried for the weekend, I think.
Just deer in the headlights, does that work?
Right. And, like, fear and doubt, and is God really in this? And it was a huge financial challenge. Now, we saw God do some pruning in that time, but we also saw Him do some amazing provision. But we had to stay the course and say, look, we believe God has called us to this ministry. It doesn't matter whether we're large or small or how many stations we're on is not the measure of success. But we had to resolve to be faithful, to keep trusting God, to keep moving forward as He provided, not to be foolish. But that was a time when I remember just feeling the need for God to give that ability to keep pressing on.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, how these things intersect when we start to talk about resolve in the face of fear, resolve in the face of the mundane and the routine, and how that intersects with trust, with faithfulness, with stewardship. These things all kind of collide, and they don't really pull apart real evenly and neatly, and yet resolve sits there and says, stay the course, stay on track, trust God, remember what He's done.
Yes.
And that's so helpful because it's not a question of will we come up against these kinds of situations.
Right.
It's really just when and how will we respond.
Yeah.
Walk in the fear of the Lord and trust Him because He is so completely trustworthy, or give way to the fear and back away from the resolve that's needed to walk through it.
Well, I love Dan's fifth point in his message. It had to do with relationships and the importance of walking together in community with others who have the same resolve and are stepping out in faith as well.
We can accomplish way more together for the gospel than we could if we all worked independently. And so it's going to take a team if we're going to cross a frontier. And so you don't want to take steps alone here. This is where you want to involve other people in the story. Ecclesiastes says if one person falls, another can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble.
And this really has been true in our ministry from the very outset. We've seen the Lord bring staff who've partnered with us to this is not Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth ministry or Martin Jones ministry. This is a team that God has put together. But we've also seen Him raise up a team of people who have supported this ministry with their prayers, their encouragement, and their financial support.
Yeah, and those all go together, don't they? It's not one of those things.
Right.
It's all of them working together. So, for example, we have several hundred women, I believe, who are praying for you when it's a recording day and asking God to move. And we have financial partners as well, monthly partners, people who give all different times, ways, means, and God uses that to further the ministry together as a whole community, not just any small group of us. Whether it's the people who are here in a building, people that are working with us a distance, or those who partner with us financially, like you mentioned, or pray for us.
I love when I'm out on the road and I invariably have people come up to me and say, I'm one of your ministry partners, and they feel a connection to the ministry,
yes,
to the message, an ownership of it. They're spreading it. They're sharing the resources. And for some of those people, giving $30 a month is significant. It's a sacrifice. And then God has blessed others. I think of a couple who've stepped up to the plate recently to help get True Woman 101 into another language, and now are partnering with our ministry in a significant way because God has blessed them with greater resources. But all of that is a blessing because those people have a heart for this message, whether it's $30 a month or much greater figures.
Right. And so often it's this way for any of us personally that our finances follow our heart. And so the things that we are engaged in, the things that mean a lot to us, the things that we see God working through, those are the areas that we can joyfully give to. And that's exactly the case for these people that you're referencing. Thousands of them around the country, around the world, they're engaging because their heart's engaged. And that's what we want. We don't want anyone to give out of compulsion.
Right.
Just like we would say in our church or anywhere else, you give because God is moving you to give there, and we give with a joyful spirit, and we give because it's something that we believe in.
And I'm so thankful for those relationships, people whose lives have been impacted by this message. They share the burden, the mission, and they're partnering with us in forging these new faith frontiers. Speaking of which, we're at a new faith frontier now. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing with our listeners about the need that we're facing as we come to the end of our fiscal year. I've been explaining it, but Martin, I'd love for our listeners to hear from you about that current faith challenge, that current financial need that we're facing.
Well, I think you've talked probably oftentimes, Nancy, over the years with people, whether it's the program or maybe more often through written communication or other means, that we trust God for His provision, and then we respond to what that provision is.
Yeah.
So we don't spend money that we don't have. And so over these last months, we've been using from our reserves that we use to carry us through the summer months and the fall months. Like so many ministries, many of the donations that we receive come at the end of the calendar year and to a lesser degree now at the end of our fiscal year. And so we look at those gauges as God saying to us, this is what I have for you. And the ministry that I have for you to do over the coming year is indicated in part by that. Now, He can provide in the butter dishes, like we talked earlier. He can provide through any means that He chooses. But we do use those markers to determine prayerfully, God, what are you asking us to do out of these opportunities that you're putting into our hands? And so the need that we have now that our listeners have been hearing about, this $830,000 need in May, it's basically to make up a shortfall from the earlier months of the year and to meet our May needs. And it's a larger amount than we've needed in May in our history. And as you mentioned earlier, as we talked about earlier, we really haven't had a May need like this since back in 2011. So it's larger than normal. It's extraordinary, perhaps, and yet God is an extraordinary God, and our trust and our confidence is in Him. So our role is to ask, and God is our provider. We say that to each other. We remind each other daily. Our donor is God, and He works through
people. With a capital D.
With a capital, right. And He works through people. And so we just want to make people aware of what the need is, what the opportunities are.
Yeah.
And then as God gives, our responsibility is to be good stewards and adjust to that provision.
And I know that for me, many times my own personal giving, whether it's to this minister, to other ministries, to our local church, et cetera, that requires stepping out in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Robert and I we're now doing this together in a new way as a married couple. And we'll look at each other and say, do we think this is something the Lord wants us to have a part in? What are you sensing? He may ask, what are you sensing? And we seek the Lord together and say, we don't want to just do what feels comfortable, what we think is explainable. We want to step out in faith and honor the Lord in our giving.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that may mean we give something we hadn't planned on giving, or a greater amount than what we would have otherwise planned to give, or not. But we're seeking the Lord and saying, we want every part of our lives to be by faith, including our giving. And so I'm so thankful over the last couple of weeks for people who've been stepping up and saying, we want to be a part of helping to meet this need. We're just now mid-month, and over these next couple of weeks, we need to see the Lord provide in a very significant way. And I'm thankful for the chance to share this message on faith this week. I know it's encouraged my heart. I think it's encouraged our listeners as well. And we're just trusting that the Lord will provide what is needed in His way and in His time. And then we're all going to give God glory and say, thank you for showing yourself again to be a faithful God. Who is like you, O Lord?
To support Revive Our Hearts in this important time, visit reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. On Monday, we'll hear from two sisters who launched modeling careers. While entering the world of fashion and glamour, they discovered something really important about outward and inward beauty. Please be here Monday for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walkemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.